And me say, hey, me fretting up about me here I'm flexing. And me say, hey, me frowning up on me here it wearing. Whoa, whoa. Every day.
Welcome. This is Kim for another exciting show on Kiss and Tell. Today I'm in the studio again with Evan, coming to talk to you about the latest topics inspired by MTV Guy Code. And this week, I am talking about how to have a good ass night. That's right, guys. You know, in MTV Guy Code this week, they talked about a lot about things about how you can, you know, have a great time out with the boys, right? They talked about pre-gaming. They talked about having a wingman. They talked about competing with other guys and having nicknames and bachelor parties. And here's a funny thing. I don't even know if I have a nickname for Evan. Evan, what's your nickname?
I don't have a nickname. I'm nicknameless.
You know, we're going to have to come up with a nickname for you. Because I feel like I don't know you as well. I can't call you my buddy if I don't have a nickname for you.
Oh, that's terrible.
You know, so I don't even know. Do I have a nickname?
Maybe you'll think about it by the end of the show. That's okay.
I know. So you know, like, having a party is very important in your ability to meet people. Because when we talk about dating and everything else, you know, you can meet people. You know, I talked a lot about this in the previous shows about how you constantly have to find new people to meet, because that's how you're going to go on dates, right? So it's going to be like a phone numbers and everything. And one of the major way of meeting people is throwing parties. Right, and on MTV Gecko, they focus a lot on how to go to the club and pregame and everything else. But what I really want to focus about is how do you make sure people have a good time when they're out with you?
Right,
because there's a few things that we've done recently, Evan, that I think has been very successful for us. Right, I mean, would you say that we have a good time?
I think we have a really good time.
And would you say that people want to go out with us again?
I would think that they do, and they do.
And let me tell you this, people. If you don't know how to throw parties, this is the podcast you want to listen to, because there is only one thing you need to know about creating a good-ass party. The only thing you need to know is you have to help people hook up. I hate to say it. I mean, yes, I love a good party where it's more intellectual. I love a party when there's a theme, gangsters and hoes kind of theme parties, right? Mm-hmm. And those are great because it allows people to kind of get loose, get wild. But beyond the theme, you need to find ways to encourage people to kind of hook up or get engaged with one another. So, first of all, just like anything else, think of it like a good book, like a good movie. There needs to be a main event. Right? So you go to the club, it's usually a mainlining DJ or mainlining band or something like that, right? Your party needs to have a main event. So even if you have a theme, like for Halloween, a lot of people are doing a Halloween costume party, right? Well, what is a main event? Is it just, oh, let's all go up in there and invite everybody to dress up and see what happens? No. You need to have a contest. Who has the best costume? That could be one. Or you need to have a gimmick, like, hey, you know what, I'm inviting a psychic, whatever, I don't care, right? Or, you know what, I have a friend of mine who always, for his birthday, he always buy a big, pinata,
yeah.
You know, so that, you know, for his main event, like, he'll have girls, taking a swing at the pinata. So that's great, but
we were at a party not too long ago where the main event was a burlesque dancer who popped out and gave a burlesque dance.
Exactly. So, I mean, these parties are a bit more involved because they actually involve a show, right? So that's great if you have the kind of discretionary income to allow yourself to hire that. But if you don't, you still need to have a main event. Now, the main event, to me, the biggest important to me for the main event is helping people get engaged with each other. Now, let me give you an example of one of the parties that I did a long time ago when I just moved to LA, and that really helped people get engaged. This was not a crazy party by any means. At the time, I didn't know anything about dating and creating a really good party, so it was a bit more on the tame side. You know, I wasn't helping people, quote-unquote, hook up, so to speak. But I was definitely helping people getting engaged. So if they want to hook up outside of my party, that was great. But my party was not, you know, the place to hook up, right? But this is what I did. A lot of people have potluck parties. But the great thing about potluck parties are people bring things and they kind of experiment or experience different people's foods, right? The problem with potluck parties, people don't know each other.
Right.
And people don't know who made what. Because if you arrive late, oh, great, somebody brought some, you know, Filipino egg rolls. Oh, great, somebody brought a Greek salad. But nobody cares, right? So I did a variation of that a long time ago. And the way I did this is I invited people, first of all, that I tried that are not from the same social circle. Because I wanted people to connect. I wanted to be called, quote-unquote, to hook up. Not in a sexual romantic way, but hook up as in, like, meet new people. And the way I did it, I'm like, you know what? I'm making a list of ingredients. I invited a bunch of people. I'm like, you're responsible for the main dish, right? So I need you to bring some kind of carbs. I need you to bring some kind of meat or protein. I need you to take care of the condiments to go with that, right? And I need you to take care of the appetizer dish. And as I said, I did not say dish per se, more an ingredient. And they're like, why? I'm like, you know what? Because based on what you guys bring, we're going to come up with some food to cook together.
Oh, I love that.
You know? So a lot of people, they've never heard of this. So they're like, well, what do you want me to bring? Chicken? Beef? I'm like, I don't care. So eventually it came to the point where I actually had to make an actual list. I'm like, you know what? You bring chicken, you bring rice, or you bring pasta, you bring salad, you bring tomatoes, and everybody came. And the reason I did this, because if you live in LA, you know people are always freaking late. You say a party starts at 8, they'll come at 10 or 11. And I'm like, you know what? Because you're bringing this, and this is key to the quote-unquote main event, people will come within half an hour of when I told them to come. So when I came, I looked at it. I'm like, okay, so we got the chicken, and obviously my kitchen was laid out to have people. And what I did is like, you know what, we're gonna do some pasta with chicken and whatever, based on what they brought, you know. And what I did, like, you and I delegated. I wasn't the one cooking. Are you kidding me? Like, do I look like a cook to you? What I did is I provided the kitchen and make people cook. I don't care how good of a cook you are, because what happens is the people who knew how to cook will teach the other people. So I did like, you know what? You'll be responsible for cooking the kitchen. You can wash it and do whatever it is. You'll be responsible for the sauce. So even if it's basic sauce, it could be like chicken and marinara sauce for all that I care. You know, it doesn't matter how intricate of a dish it was. The point is, by having people cook in little islands, the people who didn't know each other started to talk to each other. They say, like, oh my god, this is so much fun. Like, what do you do? You know, what it is, you know. And this was one of my very, very first parties in LA. And everybody had a great time. They wanted to come back.
Brilliant.
And the second time, I did something similar. But this time, I would ask them to invite friends of theirs that I didn't know. That way, and I did the same thing. I'm like, make sure you give me the name because I need to know what they're going to bring. And that's how I created the main event for that party. Now, again, this was not a sexual hookup party, but that's how you throw a great-ass party. Because you want people to get engaged with each other. You want to facilitate people getting phone numbers. You want to facilitate people, like, falling in love with each other. Because without that, what's the point of a party? You know? I don't care if the theme is your birthday, my birthday, her birthday, his birthday. You need to have people hook up. Right? Now,
I mean, I went to a party not too long ago, a little bit of a variation on that, and probably not quite as good in terms of getting everybody to mingle with each other, but this was something that did get everybody excited and did break a lot of ice, which was, it was kind of like a Top Chef party, where the host specified a particular ingredient, and there were rules about what you could use in your dish and you couldn't use in your dish, and he also provided his kitchen for finishing up the dishes. But it was a contest, a la Top Chef, and everybody was a judge of the of all the food that everybody else prepared. And so if you were, if you brought food, you couldn't judge, but there were people who didn't bring food that were judges, and there was, you know, quite a number of people. And so it kind of gave everybody the opportunity to talk to each other about what they thought of all the different dishes.
That's awesome. I love it. I love it. I mean, again, we're talking about food party here, but there's so many ways. I mean, actually, Evan used a great word, mingle. I use the word hookup, but it's really, you want people to mingle as much as you can. So now, thinking about mingling, it goes back to logistics that I've talked about last podcast as well. You need to start thinking about how the logistics of your party is going to work out. Where are you going to lay out things? How are you going to set up the chair so that this section of the living room will be more for one-on-one conversation, and this section of the house will be more for group conversation? Because at the beginning, you want people to have group conversation. You know, you want people to interact with as many people as they can, but as the night progresses, you want people to kind of like go more on one-on-one conversation. And that, again, dictates how you manage the emotional level of people. And this is something that me and Evan do all the time when we throw parties. First of all, at the beginning of the party, the music needs to be kind of exciting. Actually, it can be loungy at the beginning too, because I know, like, you know, depending on the kind of house you have, you know, maybe it's laid out more of a lounge, so you can do more like kind of loungy music. But as the excitement picks up, you need to switch it up to more like top 40 music if you're trying to get something to go crazy. If you are trying to get people to go wild, if you're trying to get people to get drunk, you need to slowly start switching it to like more kind of top 40 or kind of like electronic music kind of deal. Then as it winds down, you switch it to more kind of like cozy, ambient kind of music. And it goes the same with lighting. At the beginning of the night, you're lighting a little bit brighter. And as it gets more crazy, it dims, but you have more like spotlight kind of deal. If you think about clubs, this is what clubs do. They have spotlight lighting to shine on where the excitement should be. And as they wind down, they kind of lower it down so that people start hooking up. That's exactly how you do a good party. Now, I know it's kind of crazy, but the alcohol plays a role too. You always want to have a good flow of alcohol. Now, there's a talk about pre-gaming if you're doing a party outside of your house. And pre-gaming can be liquor or beer. But I disagree with MTV Guy Code. They were talking about, you know, you should pre-game mostly with beer, because you don't want to get fucked up before you start the night. And I agree with that idea. You don't want to get fucked up before you get to the club, before the night really starts. But you can get, you know, a few quick shots if you know you can handle your alcohol. The key point here, you want to get relaxed. You want to get loose. You don't want to get in your head. You want to set the right tone, the right mood for your party. And second is, I mean, I hate to say it, for people who are actually going out, it saves you money. You know, if you go out to the bar or the club or the lounge, you know the drinks nowadays are very, very expensive. So it's definitely a good thing for you to pregame before. Now, Evan, do you think it's good to pregame with girls, or is it better to pregame with just guys?
Well, if you're going out with girls, I don't see any problem with pre-gaming with girls.
You know, and here's a key thing, you know. An MTV Geico, they were big on pre-gaming with mostly guys. Because, you know, if you, you know, the point that the guys on MTV said, well, if you already have girls at your pre-game, that you already have a party, why do you need to pre-game, right? So, you know what, I can see the point. But the big difference here, again, is, at least for me, the way I invite people to a party is I try to invite people who are okay with meeting new people, who have the social skill to actually engage new people. So when I invite girls, usually they're not always girls that I want to hook up with in the first place. They're girls that I know can help me meet more people.
Right. Right?
Now, in that group, there might be a few girls that I wouldn't mind hooking up, but they might not be my priority targets. Because the truth is, if it's a girl that I want to hook up with, I wouldn't be inviting her to the party. I would be setting up a date with her. So that's a very, very big key difference between me and some of the other quote-unquote like guys who'd like to hook up. Is that if I want to hook up with a girl, I'll be setting up more of a date. If you're trying to be more of a player and who likes to do like the kind of like fraternity, sorority kind of party and hook up, then that's a different story, okay? That has a very different kind of feeling. You can invite the hot chick you want to hook up, and yeah, you may not want to pregame with her because you don't want to set that up front. But at the same time, you know, why go through that? Why don't you just go directly through her, set up something with her, and there you go. You have a party with her alone. I mean, Would you agree with that?
I mean, I guess there's, you know, the idea of social proof or just the, you know, if you wanted to see you in a kind of more fun environment and have a fun experience and maybe have a fun impression of you, I guess that would be one reason you might invite somebody to a party. So if you're kind of just looking to just, you know, overall give her some positive impressions.
I agree. And actually that goes back to what we talked in our last show, like, you know, emotional management, day management. Like, you always want to know what you want people to know about you.
Right.
Right? I mean, I know Evan for a long time now, and he has some friends who've known him since, I don't know, college years, high school years, but they've only seen only a few sides of him. And I would say from the last party, I think they discovered a totally new side of you that they didn't expect, right?
I mean, I haven't taken a poll, but it's very possible.
Yeah, and that's what you want. You want people to discover different sides of you because they're like, oh, shoot, you know, I didn't know he knew that. I didn't know. And that's create excitement. When you discover new things about other people, that's create new excitement and new interest in what they want to do with you, right? Now, let's get a little bit deeper, Evan. Before we go into like the kind of things you and I have done to create excitement, let's talk about the importance of having a good wingman or co-host.
Yes.
What's your take
on that? Oh, no. It's absolutely fundamental. Because when you're doing a party, you can't be everywhere all the time. And you have limited capacity to either serve drinks or set up the music or maintain the lighting or entertain people in conversation. And so it's absolutely essential that you have, you know, a wingman, a co-host who can manage the things you can't manage, that would allow you to engage guests that you, say, want to engage or not engage them in favor of doing something else. There's a lot of logistical issues that go into throwing a party, and having somebody there who can take care of some of the things that you can't take care of is super important.
And to be honest with you guys, if you throw a party, I'm sure you want to get to know some people. You want to meet a new girl. You want to meet a new few guys too, like cool guys. And if you are the only host, not only the, you know, you're the maitre d', you're the owner of the house, you're all of that at once, I hate to say it, you're not going to have time to chat with people. You're not going to have time to joke around, tease, flirt, or even connect with them. So people are going to take advantage of your party, but you're going to leave the party with nothing. Except a few pats on the back, saying, hey man, great party. So it's important that before you set up a party at your house or whatever you set it up as, that you have maybe one, at least minimum one, obviously, but maybe two even friends who can be your co-pilot, so to speak. Here are some roles that are important. So, as I told you, the role of the party is to help people mingle and hook up, right? If you're inviting people from different social circles, you want somebody who knows most people already, at least, or like, think about the restaurant, a host or hostess. They kind of seat you at the table. You want somebody who does the welcoming part. When somebody comes in, like, hey, man, nice to see you again. What's your name? Oh, great. Have you seen, you know, the owner of the house or the host, the main host of the house? Let me show you where he is. Now, by the way, do you need a drink? Do you need music? Let me show you the restroom. Let me show you the bathroom. And not only that, you want that initial host guy to just start enough of a conversation with them so that they feel comfortable staying. The very second job that person does is helping them introduce new people to them. Because you know very well that when somebody new comes to the party, they usually come with one or two or three friends already. As I said, the main goal of the party is to help them mingle and hook up with new people. So if two or three girls come in with the same group and they only talk to the same two or three girls, your party sucks. Okay? Hate to say it, you failed. And this is where your kind of like co-host comes in. Like, hey, you know what? I want to introduce you to Jack. This is Jack. And this is how you introduce people, okay? And this is a big pet peeve of mine. You cannot just say, hi, this is Jack, this is Julie. If your introduction is just, this is Jack and Julie, again, you're not doing very well. The way you want to introduce people is you want to say something good about them. Or you want to say something unique about them. Like, hey, you know what? Hey, Julie, I want you to meet Jack. Jack is this writer. Right now he's working on this great show. And I don't know what he's doing right now, but I think he's going to be picked up. You know? I mean, I don't like to boast about him, but this is what I'm proud of him because he's really driven or whatever it is you want to say about Jack, right? And Jack, this is Julie. Julie is one of my closest friends from college. You know, like, if you want anything to know about what girls do behind closed doors, you need to ask her because she knows everything about, you know, the mischief that girls go through. You want to throw something unique so that they have a built-in kind of conversation, like, and they're like, oh, really, Julie? Really? What is it that you should know? Or if like, oh, Jack, you do a show? Well, it's kind of funny because, you know, I'm an actress. Whatever it is you say, right? Typically, try to avoid the direct, you know, professional connection because it gets very boring very quickly. You want to say something good and positive, but that is not necessarily professional. If you want to know, when introduce Evan, I'll call him one of my best friends who knows a lot about music, because that's true. He knows a lot about indie music. So I promote him as the guy who knows a lot of music. And depending on who I introduce him to, maybe I'll promote him as the guy who does the legal talk show. You know, because again, it speaks to his heart. He has a lot to say about it. And people would get emotionally engaged with him because they can sense his enthusiasm for it. Right? Now, there's a second role that you should have for somebody, whether it's your co-host, somebody, or maybe yourself. It would be the guy who does a drink. You want to take that? Why is it important for that?
Well, I mean, you know, it's alcohol in some sense is a little bit of a social lubricant, especially for people who may be a little self-conscious and a little shy. And so I think sometimes or a lot of times those people welcome having a drink. And to kind of take the edge off some of the social interactions that they may not necessarily be comfortable with right away.
Yeah. So usually your co-host, depending on how big your party, if it's a small party, your co-host or yourself can take care of the drinks. But if you have a bigger party, it's good to have a third person, because it's you.
A bartender.
A friend who's good with drinks, or if you want to hire somebody, that's fine too. But somebody who's basically in charge of the alcohol. Like, so that, like, once you introduce them, like, by the way, this is, I don't know, Craig. And Craig here will take care of the drinks for you. Craig, can you grab her? She wants a, you know, cranberry vodka. Oh, totally.
Yes, sir, right away, yes.
You know? And as I said, Craig's job will also be about meeting people too, but he mainly takes care of the drink. And the co-host mainly takes care of introducing people. If you do it like that, people are going to get engaged very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. And that's what you want. You want people to mingle, right? Now, usually, if you've had a great party, you will have a theme. It's a birthday, it's a Halloween party, it's whatever. Now, as I said, there needs to be a main stage. Now, this is where it gets crucial. So, Evan, what are some of the things that you and I have used to make a memorable party?
at group activities, something that gets everybody engaged. So a board game, for example, is a perfect way to get everybody to have some fun. You know, it's childhood-like. It's very, you know, it brings you back. And it's competition.
Okay. Now, board game, is there anything more specific you can give us as an example?
You know, something that's easy to play, nothing that's too over the top and complicated. Connect Four was something that we use, which is really simple. And the games don't last too long. They're not hours. You're not sitting and playing Monopoly forever and ever and ever. Something with a really, you know, high kind of quick turnaround on going from one game to the next. You know, cards is another good example. You know, a quick little poker game. I mean, that takes a little bit more setup, but poker could, I suppose, work, or and could lead to strip poker. So,
Well, you see, there's a key point in having games, and games is a key word here for the main event, because, as I said, you want people to engage each other, right? But not only engage each other verbally through conversation, but you want to get people engaged through competition. And games is a perfect set way to compete in, because you get to have a reward, you get to get a prize, and it doesn't matter what you do, whether it's a costume contest or whatever, but the point is you want people to compete, right? So in one of our parties that me and Evan did, it was a Connect Four. We played Connect Four. It was guys versus girls, and obviously you can imagine the kind of challenges or prizes that we would give each other, right? Another one that I've heard is the Game of Life. It's a bit longer. Another one that I've seen people do is a murder mystery. Again, that's a lot more involved. But the great thing about a murder mystery is people have to talk to each other. They have to get into roles. They have to kind of act it out. So it's great. Another one that could be good. I forgot the name of that board game. It's the one that's called Pictionary.
Oh, Pictionary.
Pictionary. And also the other one would be the word game. You know, where you have to act out a word. I forgot the name of that game too.
Charades.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So there you go. See, I'm terrible with these games. Another games would be the one where you pull out the wood sticks.
Oh, I don't know what that's called. I don't think I've ever really played that. Yeah, but I know what you're talking about.
I've played that in some parties where they leave it on the side, actually, where the main party is, again, talking, but on the side there'd be like a couple games out so that people play. Again, it's to create the idea of fun through games. Now, usually, if you're a smaller party, it's a lot easier to create a game that has everybody involved. And the goal, again, for me, usually, is to keep it memorable. And memorable means, again, for me, is hooking up. So let me tell you one of the things I've done in last weekend. It was for my friend's birthday. And it was totally impromptu. This was a girl's birthday. And after everybody got engaged, after everybody got their foods and everything else, I'm like, you know what? In honor of the birthday girl, may I please call the birthday girl up front? And I sat her down in a chair, and she didn't know what I was going to do to her. But I pulled out some dollar bills. I'm like, this is donation from all your friends, right? And this is how you can spend your money tonight, because I got all the men to volunteer their wonderful service to please you. And basically, the men lined up and took turns giving her lap dances. Now, you would say this is like getting too much or this is too crazy, but here, this is how I engage the rest of the group. Because the fun thing about doing this, it gets a bit sexualized, right? But the problem with this is the other people who are not participating may not have fun. I mean, what happened to the other people who are not, dancing or doing lap dances for the girl? So I got all the remaining girls to sit down on the couch and basically be the judge. Kind of like X Factor style or American Idol style. Give them some pen and paper so they can, give them scores. And by the end of the however many men you have, then they'll score them, and then the winner will get a reward. And again, the birthday girl, I didn't tell her how she can reward the guy. So it was up to her to decide how to reward the winner. Now, as I said, depending on what kind of friends you invited, what kind of group you have, it can be a kiss, a makeout session with that person. It can be a lap dance of her own. It can be rewarding that person with a date with this person. But again, the great thing is you're getting people to push the boundaries of what they can do. You know, she can, the guy, whether she likes the girl or not, can go on a date and everything else. So again, be creative, guys. This is what we're talking about. Now, if you like something else, you can do something more tame. I mean, this required, exciting music, top 40 music, hip-hop music. But you can do something like Truth or Dare. Now, how do you make a great Truth or Dare, Evan?
How do you make a truth? You have, first of all, you have people who are a little at least open to playing Truth or Dare. And if you don't, you need to kind of get them warmed up to the idea that, hey, we're just reliving our past. We're going back to junior high. Yeah, and that's okay. So you need to, in some sense, be able to dispel any sort of qualms about, oh, I'm playing Truth or Dare. This is so high school or whatever. Yeah, it is. And that's the point.
Now, you know, adult Truth or Dare is a little different than childhood Truth or Dare. You know, when we were kids, Truth or Dare was all about getting to the makeout, right? But nowadays, Truth or Dare for adults would be more about what? What do you think?
At least something past the makeout.
Well, you see, like, the great thing about Truth or Dare is, again, an excuse to, quote-unquote, hook up or get a bit sexual with somebody without the courtship, right? So, my point is, the Truth or Dare would be best done a bit later in the evening, not at the beginning of the party, but when you have people who are now committed to hanging out with each other and who are okay with going a bit further out. Now, again, make sure you have your rules right, meaning they can't do more than two or three truths in a row, and that's what it gets. And usually, let me tell you guys, the best way to do this is start slow. Start with innocent questions, you know. What was your favorite dog or something like that, you know. But, oh, what's the craziest thing you've done? But slowly build it up to what's the craziest thing you've done. And then slowly build it up to, like, more, like, juicy topics. Like, how many lovers have you had? Or, like, what's your favorite body parts? Slowly build it up. And then switch it out. Go back to very normal questions. If you do it right, people is going to get in very quickly into the game. And the key thing, though, for Truth or Dare, you have to kind of keep it going fast. You don't want people to think too hard about the questions, because if they do, then it slows the game down, the excitement falls down, and if it falls down, then you're going to have to resort to other means to keep it exciting, like, hey, you know what, let's take a quick break, shots right now for everybody, you know, or something like that. So, remember, people, you need to have a main event to your parties. You need to have good wingmen. You need to have good cohorts for your party. And without these, your parties are not going to be a success. Because the truth is, if you have a party and these people, none of them wants to get the phone number of each other, then your party was not that great. I hate to say it, you know. It wasn't like that. You want everybody to come out with at least one new phone number or one new friend. And for that to succeed, there's a lot of things that gets into it. You have, again, the venue. You have the music. But you have your team. Your wingman. Your co-host. Your bartender. And then, based on that, you also need games. Whether it's a theme. Whether it's a board game. Whether it's cards. And and actually, besides that, you also want to set up your house properly, right? I know for a fact that me and Evan, when people come in, I ask them to give me the jacket and purses and then put them away. Why? It's a way to make sure that people stay. The reason we do this, again, that we take away the purse and the jacket, is because if you let them keep it, a lot of people will just stay there for 10, 15, 20 minutes, and if they don't talk to anybody, they're going to leave. So what you do, as soon as they come in, the co-host is like, hey, let me have your jacket, let me have your wallet, your purse, I'll put it away. What you need to just come back and ask me. That's one very sure way of having people stay. Another way of helping people stay is, you know what, today, you know, we're just cleaning the house. Today's party is no shoes allowed. You can make a stupid rule like that, you know. Just by taking off your shoes and putting all on the side will force people to stay longer than need to. What's another way of making sure the party goes? I mean, I know you can use, you know, like a little party favor kind of guest, you know, or something like that, or numbers. I know, like, you can take ideas from actually, you know, like, dating sites, dating event, singles events, when they give you a number or something, like, you know, like, there's a matching number, you need to find it in the room. Any form of icebreaker games you can find online, you can use for your parties. So that's another way to add another thing for you to have a successful party. And once again, if you do everything right, oh, actually, before I finish off, you want a few rooms kind of empty. I mean, assuming you want that kind of party. Meaning, not rooms empty, but locations in your apartment or wherever you're where people can get more intimate, something more cozy, where people kind of sit closer, have a few blankets together, have a few pillows. Because, and I don't mean necessarily a room, because this is not like college where you're trying to get people to fuck each other in the other rooms in the house, but you know, people trying to kind of cuddle up, maybe make out or kiss or something like that. And this is what's important, again, to have a few blankets.
I also would say that it's important for the space not to be too big. Actually, the smaller the space, in some sense, the better, because it forces people to be close to each other and to be in each other's face and hopefully to talk to each other and hook up with each other. So smaller space rather than a bigger space.
And you guys know why that's great? Because it can lead into more physicality. And that, as I said, I'm not talking straight sex. But in our last party, I forgot how it came up, but we started giving each other massages. And let me tell you, the women really like that.
Yeah.
You know, somebody offered foot massages and the woman lined up to get foot massages from him. You know, so guess what? Guess what happens when you have foot massages? You get to talk. You get to flirt. You get to make people feel good. I see no lose-lose situation.
It's win-win.
Win-win. Now, if he's good, you know, he got the number of every single one of these women, and he'll go out with them. Now, if he's not good, well, I can't do anything about that.
But, yeah.
You know, as I said, that's how you create a great night out for everybody. So, my challenge for you guys is this. For this week, plan a party. Because the truth is, going out every day, quote unquote, going hunting for a date, whether you're a man or woman, is great if you have the time and the energy to look for a date.
Or and I should say, if you're going out and you also are planning a party, it's a great way to invite people that you just met to your party.
Exactly. Actually, that is the one thing to do, actually. If you're the kind of person who's social enough but don't have time to set up dates all the time, you know, you can meet a girl, like Evan met a girl last week, right, for lunch, and he got a number. If he had a party coming up the coming week, he'd be like, hey, I know it'd be nice to see you one-on-one, but right now I'm having this event, when you come out, right? It's a great way to start having orbiters, meaning like options in your life of girls. Basically, you're building your pipeline of people you want to date. You'll never have time to go on date with every single person that you meet, but if you create your social life where you have a stream of new people that are waiting to go on dates, that's how you do it. So my challenge for you guys this week, if you haven't done a party in a long time, have a party. Invite all your friends and ask them to invite friends of friends. And once you do, make sure you get the phone number of every single person you can think of so you can set up a date the very following week. And this is Kim for Kiss and Tell with the best of dating tips to improve your romantic life. I'll see you next week. A heavy dose of the music.